Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Tuesday co-host. You may know him as a rabid anti-Semite, Paul in California. Welcome, Paul.
Oh my goodness, is it Tuesday again, Richard? I don't know what else I need to do here. I've been coming on here pretty much every Tuesday for the better part of 30 years, I think. Are we there yet? I mean, have our goals been accomplished because of my appearances?
Oh, well, they really should have been with your appearances alone. I can't see why the world hasn't been fixed. But 30 years, Paul, I don't know. Maybe a time has taken a toll on you with the labor involved, the labor intense. It is a struggle. You're trying to get everyone up to your level.
Notice to all the listeners, I am prone to exaggeration, so keep that in mind. But anyway, no. before we get to investment hogwash or zero hedge, zero sum game.
Don't criticize zero crotch plug. Come on now.
Yeah, whatever articles you got. I love to create new word memes every week if I can. But I just had a thought. I thought I would throw it out there, just throw it out to you and later on to the audience, okay? We'll call it a brainwave here, right? Kind of would help us along in our current situation with the plight of the white Western world. How about this, okay? Try this on. White people have rights. Everybody else has privileges. Huh? What do you think? You like it?
Well, this just further confirms my suspicions that you really are a Fed, Paul. No, really, you love to stir the pot the wrong direction. I don't know. That's the way I see it. If you're going to be gulags for free speech related to white rights, you figure. I mean, I don't know. You don't want to help the establishment's narrative. That we want ill will upon others, and that in the supremacy thing, you can talk about genetic realism without going full bore supremacy, and it's more constructive.
Well, no. See, here's the thing. It's in our countries. I'm not talking about trying to extend this to another nation, although I wouldn't mind creeping into Mexico, say, for about a 20 to 30 mile, what you call, just like they have in North Korea, South Korea, they got that demilitarized zone. I don't know how wide it is. I think it's like 15 miles or something like that. But yeah, I'd be in favor of extending it probably at least 15 to 30 miles into Mexico as well. But yeah, it's protective of us because the opposite is occurring. No one can argue the fact that we are the underprivileged class, despite, whatever amount of money that some of us might have in a bank account. The bottom line is the direction, the trending is going exactly the opposite way. And by the way, none other than William Pierce, as well as recently Kevin Alfred Strom, advocated exactly such a thing in one of his dissonant voices when he was talking about gun rights and gun control. And everything I heard, I had no problem with it. In a real white nation where we controlled our own destiny, we controlled our country, and we control those that were in our country as guests or outsiders, right? That white people would be permitted to carry firearms, but definitely non-whites would not, only under special circumstances.
Or even require all white citizens to be armed, if not in their, at least in their homes, if not on their person.
I'm not in favor of requiring such a thing, okay. But I would be in favor. And again, of course, you would hear all the wailing and the moaning and the gnashing of teeth that all these other you know, non-whites, Mexicans, blacks, etc. We could have a special category for Asians, the ones that would not be deported, which would be most of them, you know, in my opinion, pretty quickly. But yeah, in their own part of town or in their own ghettos, barrios, whatever, fine. But you venture out, okay, and you are armed, it's the most severe consequences. And again, you know, I would be also be in favor of a separate judicial system. I don't think any white should be judged by any non-white jury or be in front of a non-white judge, and vice versa. I'm not interested in subjecting blacks to white justice, okay, unless they commit a crime against a white in a white jurisdiction. Other than that, they can do whatever they want in their own areas and, you know, have at it. But anyway, the thought occurred to me because, you know, we all can see what's occurring. They're going to make us not just a smaller percentage of the population demographically, but they are going to continue to underprivilege us. Make no mistake about it.
An apt point. It makes me think of an appropriate segue. Michael Rivera was just commenting on the judicial system and the jurors with the requirements yesterday on his show, where he proposed, who is a man who's very fair and balanced in regard to race and justice, legal system sort of attitudes. But he suggested, the indoctrination blacks have had against whites, feminists have had against men. How is a white traditionalist, a straight white male, to be judged fairly with a bunch of jurors made largely of non-white and or female jurors? It's not going to happen in this day and age. The amount of conditioning, indoctrination, and anti-white and anti-male propaganda, these are levels which is really uncharted territory for our culture.
Right. Well, I mean, jury of our peers should really mean exactly that. And there's multiple examples. Many of these news stories have been discussed on this station, as well as other stations as well. I mean, so you don't have to look too far to find, the egregious outlier of, what I would call a dysfunctional and a biased system against us and our interest and disproportionate punishments. Now, I will admit, okay, I mean, there's been a lot of claims made over the decades that blacks have been disproportionately punished in our system. And I mean, I can accept that at face value, right? Even though in many cases it's because they commit disproportionate amount of crimes. However, I'm perfectly fine with, as long as the victim is not white, then they can have their own justice system, you know. And I would imagine that it would be a lot more strict than ours. I believe that decent black people that would be prosecutors and judges would have very little or no tolerance for the kind of ridiculous thug behavior that you see going on in the black community. And I would imagine, and I'm probably accurate here, that the vast majority of decent black folks living in whatever part of the town they live in are infuriated by this, what I call releasing of the hounds, you know, decriminalizing behavior, no bail, lighter sentences. I mean, just in the last year or two, I've read the most ridiculous accounts of blacks committing many crimes involving violence, and they are literally back out on the street in 24 to 48 hours. It's just absurd.
Oh, yes. Is it New York, rather than California, I'm thinking, has for second-degree murder no cash bail now. You could just be let out on your own recognizances until your trial date when you've committed second-degree murder, at least accused of, charged with. So that's where we are in places like New York and Chicago. I mean, certainly Chicago as well, but no, New York and California on the state level.
Right. It literally is Jewish insanity, and it's becoming increasingly clear to a larger percentage of the population, which is a good thing. Now, a lot of them don't know to put the word Jewish in front of insanity or to put the word Jewish in front of cultural Marxism, but that's what it is, and the Internet is making it more known. In fact, Andrew Anglin said many years ago, I think quite accurately and succinctly, where he said, nowadays, a cell phone camera and a YouTube video equal truth, because we can all see with our own eyes what's occurring. And then when we read some of these stories, I mean, how many times do we hear that, you know, the suspect was out on bail on another charge, okay, or the suspect had a lengthy criminal record. And some of the times it's just absurd, you know, where you have such things as like, oh, they've been in the system for 15 or 20 years and they have a rap sheet as long as your arm. Well, that just should not occur. Okay, once the rap sheet gets to be as long as part of your arm, then that should be a wrap for that person. Like, adios, muchacho.
Sure. Now, getting to other topics here. Well, firstly, since I did already mention Mr. Rivero, I guess I should alert some of my listeners who wouldn't be aware. Possibly, it was announced on what really happened yesterday. Michael Rivero's decided to retire. And unfortunate for his listening audiences, including myself. And at the end of this week, actually, so his last show is going to be this Friday, July 28th. And, well, what, I mean, he's had the website 25 years, and he wants to get back to original articles on that. And just, I mean, increasing need for his household, medical expenses for he and his wife, various things. I mean, it's just, they have a lot of sponsors who want to get on whatreallyhappened.com, you know, who are on hold. There's just no time to even get things up and running. You know, it's growing. It's still growing, actually, after 25 years, the whatreallyhappened.com website. And so, yeah, he's going to put his energy toward that and realize it's the best thing at this point. What, 70, 71, I want to say, you just mentioned. So, you know, I'm supportive of that. I for one, I haven't been, well, I know the radio show's been 15 years going now, like 2008, that would be. I've been listening since 2014. And so for me, that's quite a bit, 9 years. And personally, I caught every show just pretty much for 9 years there. So, I mean, it was one of the he was one of the role models, you know, who eventually, along with Heinrich of Red Ice and others who influenced me to do radio, starting with Truthcat Radio 2016 with Stephen D. Kelly, another good influence on me. But, you know, Michael has been a great influence on me. And, you know, I interviewed him on Truthcat. I did like 3 2-hour interviews back in 2016, 2017. Those were pretty interesting if people wanted to find them out there. And, you know, now I'm the same station as him, but my hat's off to the man. And, you know, yeah, he's been a great influence on a lot of people. And certainly I'd like a lot of others to do what I did, you know, trying to do some of the same yourself that others did to help you with the right information. So I just want to give my respect to the man here and, you know, wish him all the best.
Well, I can't disagree with anything that you said. I'm sorry to see him go. I believe I heard about it a little bit earlier today. And, yeah, there's no doubt about the fact that he will be missed. I would call him a very solid, even an anchor presence at RBN, and definitely a voice that's made for radio, a talent for keeping the flow with both news stories and callers. Was a little bit, how should I say, awakened by his site many, many years ago, What Really Happened. I went to that site way back in the day, as they say. So again, yeah, I would second all of your comments and sentiments, and then just let Mike know I'm ready to go. I'll put my things in storage. I got my bags packed. I could move right in to Round Rock, Texas there and take over. So if it's okay with him, you know, we've got that 2-hour slot open for me. Kidding.
Very good. And, I guess we should get to some news for people who do like that sort of thing.
No, no, not the news. Oh, no.
Oh,
go,
yeah.
Go ahead. I haven't even had coffee yet.
Well, we have a U.S. Reaper drone severely damaged, as the Pentagon's putting it, by a Russian jet intercept over Syria. So this new major incident the Pentagon announced involving Russia over the skies of Syria, it's, of course, going to be, you know, just further justification, you know, claiming, you know, aggressive Russia, and we have to, you know, to justify anything down the road. You know, who knows how this will be used. So I just want to get that out there. Nothing to see here. Members in the media panic as the Biden scandal mounts.
Do I get to react one at a time? Because you're going to go like three or four.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. How about the U.S. Reaper drone?
Okay. Yawn. All right. So basically, one hunk of metal was damaged or destroyed by another hunk of metal. Okay, great. All right, next story.
And then, the Biden scandal is getting worse for them, you know, more and more people and information coming out. And so the media is starting to get obviously more in a panic, which seems to be waking up more normies, maybe even more leftists out there. So it's at least entertaining for us to be a party to witness, Paul. And then the January 6th video has new information.
We're going to go one at a time where I get to react. You remember the news story? Go to me to react.
All right, the Biden family. Okay?
I know what you don't have to remind me. I just heard it. So, yeah, how could it possibly get any worse? Now, what I propose, I think it would be fantastic, is to put them in stocks. You know, remember the old, I guess that's what I call them, I believe, is stock, where they got their head and their hands and a big wooden cut-out circle, and they're locked in there, like the village square, and the people could go by and throw fruit and, you know, produce and other such things at them and mock them and shame them. That would be my solution to the Biden scandal.
Oh, no, I would appreciate that for sure. And then there's more news on the January 6th video footage suggesting now the Capitol Police officers had repeatedly lied about injuries. And I mean, well, I knew this all along. Anyone who's been keeping up with the pulse of the deception out there over the years, you know, when I heard about all these claims of, you know, how many people are dead or wounded, including officers, as a result of January 6th, I knew it was all BS. But, you know, just like, the fat black girl from Charlottesville. I always forget her. Heather Heyer?
She was not black. She wasn't black, but yeah, Heather Heyer.
Oh, it wasn't a black girl. It was a white girl?
No, she was not, yes. But she was probably a coal burner.
Okay, I never got a picture, and I just assumed always.
Well, there's a very high percentage, a high likelihood that a fat white woman will be a coal burner or, you know, what they call a mud shark. I've seen it. Before I even knew these terms, I used to see it. It's like every time I would see, starting back in the 80s, the 90s, I would see a white woman with a black guy. It was like 70-80% of the time she was fat. So anyway,
yeah, it's true.
January 6th, what can be said about it? I'm surprised they didn't ever say 6 million. 6 million were killed on January 6th.
Well, I mean, I hear it's at least pretty rough conditions with the worst murderers that they're being housed with. We'll be right back, folks. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground and I won't back down.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with my Tuesday co-host Paul in California. And no, I have heard that the January 6th prisoners, the ones who are actually incarcerated, we're to believe some of these were not agents or employed by agents, are, and this was, I just heard reported yesterday as well, with the worst offenders, you know, the most violent, dangerous criminals, as far as the cells that they're being kept in. At least that's what's being claimed. But, I mean, do we have any evidence that any of these men are actually incarcerated? Have we seen any proof of it? But anyhow.
Well, so this this takes a page out of what I've said before, and I'm not sure if that's the reason why you just said that. But, you know, I'm not alone in sort of making these claims that we should be very dubious of what I call this fear propaganda. In other words, making us, you know, dread severe punishment and incarceration for what would otherwise be a relatively minor offense. And of course, the minor nature of these offenses have been covered very well, even on places like Fox. You know, they only try to make them seem severe on, you know, the enemy war channels like CNN and MSNBC. But multiple people, but especially Miles Mathis, I know a lot of people out there are not fans or they're not that familiar with his work, but he's made the point, what I call the general point, that if it doesn't make any legal sense, or if it seems like it would be legally not possible, then it probably is false. And again, it's nowadays, you know, you never know. I mean, these we're living in basically a lawless society, and I've seen it for myself, where, you know, you can't trust anything that the judges are going to do in a courtroom, because let's face it, they are a privileged class and we are not. So the bottom line is, yeah, I would need to see absolute proof just for me to believe all of what I hear. I would need to see, you know, the court cases, and then maybe even visit the person in jail and get firsthand testimony. Otherwise, I kind of think that it might be some little bit of fear propaganda, make us all very afraid to step over the line, or we're going to suffer the most severe consequences, because that's what they want us. They want us to be in a state of fear.
True. Fair enough. And as far as Trump's influence, if it was even completely staged all along, you know, and regardless of whether or not he has another term for that matter, just hypothetically, for the sake of argument, and there are a lot in our circles, potentially including yourself, but others I know who do suggest to some extent that that's the case even. 73% of Trump voters, nonetheless, say racism against white Americans is a problem in a new poll. Okay, so I mean, this is from Information Liberation that was reporting on it. But yeah, Yahoo News had this poll. The way they phrased it, okay, Trump voters say racism against white Americans is a bigger problem than racism against black Americans. Now, they're keeping the narrative of racism bad, granted, but at least a lot more people are waking up to the reality, even if they don't live near where it's occurring, of anti-white policy in this country, Paul. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to unmute. I was actually going through the drive-thru, and I ordered my usual triple caramel, double frappuccino mochiata with whipped cream and rainbow sprinkles. So,
how masculine.
Yeah. you know, I don't really have a lot to say on that. I mean, you know, look, you know, because people can see the writing on the wall and then they reveal it in a poll, you know, it doesn't change the reality. I mean, some of us might go, oh, that's good. You know, more people are aware. Well, so what? Okay, what does awareness do for us? It's like I mentioned many times before, Michael Hoffman made the point in his excellent book, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, where he called it the cryptocracy. There's been many other names for it, but he says the cryptocracy does not really fear exposure, and also that exposure alone will not defeat the cryptocracy. So, and of course, Michael Hoffman, if people are familiar with his work, he's very Jew aware, and he also wrote an excellent book called Judaism's Strange Gods. The only problem I have with him is he's a traditional Catholic, and he has a lot of views that I don't agree with, but he's very astute and aware of the world in which we live, and I pretty much am on board with what I just expressed there, that at this point, look at what they're doing to us right in our faces, and they obviously don't fear any consequences, and so far they haven't received any consequences that I can see.
Okay, all right. I didn't know that Michael Hoffman covered the Jewish power angle so much, so it's good to know. I was Facebook friends with him for a long time back in the day, but I never really followed much of his.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you read his book, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare?
No, I have not.
That's your assignment. I've given you many assignments, most of which you've never completed, and most of them have just been to watch a video. I think you're too busy, you know, doing whatever it is you do when you're not on the air every day. But please, by all means, go out and get Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare by Michael Hoffman and read it. It's quite eye-opening, and a lot of things will come together and be a lot more clear.
Okay, well, yeah, good recommendation. And we are on the break. Actually, I hadn't heard the music, but I think we are into the break here.
TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Tuesday co-host, Paul, in California. And, well, in economic international news, the yuan has now exceeded the dollar in China's bilateral trade for the first time. And, let's see, 49% of China's cross-border transactions, that would be in the last quarter, outpaced the dollar. More are talking about how much Ukraine is a disaster. Putin is seen internationally as the moderator, the moderate stance for sure. And certainly truth is the victim certainly much of the world sees it from a different narrative than what the West and NATO are spinning. U.S. and NATO are spinning on this conflict there. But I see we have a couple callers, Paul. Perhaps we should get their input. Let's go to Ed in Iowa. Ed.
Hello there, guys. Hello there, guys. How are you guys?
Hello, Ed.
I just wanted to say to you that we are working on helping the white folks of this country regain their system that they had prior to the Civil War. And this is when it got, discombobulated, if you want to call it that, was at the Civil War. And there's a book written on that, by the way. It's called The Second Founding by Eric Foner. And he explains what actually happened at the Civil War, and there was a new founding. However, the neat thing is that the white people's system never went away. It's still there. It's still there to be used, but you have to know how to invoke it and make it work for you, see? And so that's what I'm doing now. I'm teaching people how to reestablish what they call your status in your own country, in your own society. And that's what I teach. And but there is a way to do that. It's not that hard. Now the reason why, and I heard you say that the judges are so recalcitrant with everybody, and they run over you, and you know, like a freight train, and all that kind of stuff. And that's true. As long as they can do that, as long as they're functioning within the bounds of their own system that was created prior after the Civil War, see. And so, but they can't do it if you come in as a proper person. You got to be the proper person to come in to reset the court to the original jurisdiction, what they call the original jurisdiction that was originally done, you know, at, before the Civil War. And then now you pin the judge's ears to the wall with the law, see?
Okay,
and that's it.
So hang on. So it was Ed, is that correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. So here's what I would say. So this can be and should be, you know, a legal show, okay? And I'm open to participating in or being on some sort of a show like that. RBN has had hosts that cover these sorts of things. Ralph Winter out, for example, mm-hmm. Roger Sales, so on. There's many people that know right. this area. I find it interesting. I am quite familiar with a lot of it, and I don't discount any of it. However, it does not change the nature of our world. We have essentially a racial alien enemy that rules over us, in control of all systems of power, and they are flooding our country with racial aliens. And that's the issue of the day. And let me finish here.
Yeah.
So, but change it. Mm-hmm. Any individual that goes into court in front of a judge, he's typically there. First of all, I'm an advocate of never going to court as a defendant, period. Okay, I'm talking about even if you're a criminal and you got a warrant out, just don't go in there. Well, make them come and arrest you. I mean, if you're going to go to court as a plaintiff, that's different. But most people go into courts because of traffic tickets and taxes and so forth. And generally, it's an emotional drain, it's a financial drain, and it's almost always a losing proposition. So I agree with you.
As a white person, as a white person, you don't have to go in. See, that's what I'm saying. The courts that give us the most trouble, okay, are the ones that were created by the legislatures and the Congress. And those courts are inferior to the Constitution. They're inferior courts. And a white person has no obligation whatsoever
to ever dodge the door
of those courts.
So there's lots of people full and lots of talk and lots of stories. If you have cases I can read or look at, if you have documents I can see, send it to Richard Carey's email, which is available on the site, with your name attached. I definitely want to look at what you're talking about, because I've heard this scuttlebutt for a long time. A friend of mine always talks about there's a separate courtroom you can go to. It's not an admiralty or an equity courtroom. It's a common law courtroom. And, I just say to him, and because he's full of crap a lot of times.
He's wrong. He's wrong about that. There's not a separate court. There is a court that exists that belongs to the white folks. But, listen to me. They have two jurisdictions.
All right. But
okay.
I don't want to get the show carried away with this. And here's the reason why. As I mentioned before, again, I gave you the positive response, which is I'm open to this. It's interesting, but it needs to be a separate show. But the number one thing that I said, which you must take away, is it won't solve our problems. Okay, in other words, we need to have a racially based society. I'm one of those people. I don't care about the common law or the Constitution or the Declaration or any of that other nonsense, because it's not real. We need to have a racially based society, and then we go from there. Because if we don't have, what's known as ethnic biocentrism, right, for us, white people alone, we are doomed to keep repeating the same scenario down through the centuries, over and over again.
That's what I know it is. But that's what we had. The law itself established that for us. See? Yeah, that was established in the law. If it wouldn't have been for the law, it wouldn't have been established. What you're saying wouldn't have been established.
Okay,
so
well,
the law established it for you.
It can be established in reality.
Gentlemen, it sounds like we need a whole show for you two to work this out further. But, Ed, yeah, I can forward your information to Paul through email for sure.
Yeah.
I'll
and we can continue.
Yeah,
give him my phone number. Give him my phone number, you know, or at least my phone number.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, if you can email me on the RBN website, my email is there, sir. You go to the schedule page, click on my show, you'll get my email. And then I'll forward it to Paul.
Okay.
You'll have his email. And
yeah,
then you
so
guys could exchange numbers.
Okay, and what's the name of your show? Because it's the first time I've been on it.
Beyond the Official Narrative. My name is Richard. Richard Carey.
Richard, okay.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Beyond the what now?
Official Narrative.
Official
Narrative. Okay, Beyond the Official Narrative.
Ed,
okay.
Ed, before any phone calls, I want to read material. If you just send your phone number, I'm not going to call. So give me some material to read, and then we can talk. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Ed.
Appreciate it.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Yep. Yes, sir. A couple more things to fit in before we go to the next caller. I've been saying for a while how much the markets are disconnected, you know, in Wall Street, but economic news worsens, but markets continue to rise still. Market in the final stage of a market cycle. And financial pundits lure sheeple into the markets. You know, newcomers to the market will be the targets, and, of course, small fry. Then claim no one saw it coming after the crash. You know, I mean, the big ones who clean up and profit, that is. But banks are reporting, banks are misreporting data at all-time highs as well.
Wow.
You know, they always, of course, claim that they'll stop with slaps on the wrist from past instances. We have, though, Speaker of the House McCarthy saying the House is readying impeachment proceedings for Joe Biden. Now, I don't know if this was... we're being told that the figurehead of the Biden administration could have at least some theatrical distraction of potential impeachment.
Right.
Over in Russia, Putin is signing a law banning gender change. So there's that. And, of course, we noticed in the mainstream media, the corporate media, has shifted the Ukraine narrative a little bit, you know, trying to sound like we're never able to get this counteroffensive successful from the beginning during these distractions that are out there, like this Barbie Oppenheimer distraction.
Okay.
While the media is distracting people with stories such as that, we've noticed that we have had this narrative shift, and now pro-Western analysts like Lieutenant General Kellogg are on Fox and other places talking about how Ukraine's counteroffensive is quote unquote not going well.
So
and
are you doing this because we have a boring caller coming up? Is that why?
No, I was almost done, Paul. Admitting that Ukraine never had the numbers, of course, you know, training equipment, no matter how much we send them. But yeah, we're going to go back to the calls now. I just wanted to fit those in. We have a couple callers left. Daryl in Canada, and we have Dan in Washington. Daryl in Canada. Daryl.
Okay, Paul always makes me laugh. There's so many things he makes me laugh on. It's great. And 3 to 4 is Central Time. You don't have to be in Round Rock. Mike's in Indiana, so from California, at least a co-host, you should be considered there, Paul, I think. And I got some more cotton candy for you, but you have to wait to the end of my comments here. You know, and the caller, like the last caller, and a segue that you mentioned, 73% of Trump voters think whites are being discriminated against. I'm sure pretty hardcore most of them would say that's very discriminated against, not mildly. And what Paul was talking about at the beginning of the show is a perfect segue to what I was thinking just the other day about, like, Jim Crow laws, for instance, like, for whites. I mean, it might even be better than, you know, what's going on now compared to, you know, just change it around. I mean, like, for instance, our water fountains. I mean, what whites wouldn't want to have those? Like, our own hotels, even if they were run down, but they were white. I mean, how about... what else? Department store, counters even to eat their meals on. Nothing much, but it's white. How about, what else? Our own housing developments type of thing. I know there are some, but it's certainly getting a lot less white now. They're being invaded. Own buses, things like that, Paul. What do you think of that? Even though they would be, you know, let's say in own areas like to live and run down places, but still, it you know, I'll let you decide. I'll let you, and part of your answer, I'll let you decide whether Jews should be part of that white group.
So, you know, the answer seems so obvious to me, and I almost feel like just, shall we say, redundant just to, you know, articulate it. But the fact of the matter is most people don't spend any time in any court, you know, about their status or advocating for their rights or anything. Okay, it's just not a part of everyday life. It's mostly conceptual. It's of some interest to me, and again, I'm familiar with it. I've been through the gamut myself with tickets. You know, I know how to not pay income tax. That's pretty straightforward. So I know my way around a legal document or two. But again, what do we do most days? Just think about what your day is, what your week is like, what your month is like, so forth. It's mostly mundane. We go to the store, right? We go to work, right? We get home. We fix dinner. You know, we maybe get together with friends. This is what life is about. So the enemy, the racial alien enemy that I mentioned, has the reins of power, and they have something far more important than the legal system, and that's the media. Okay, yep. They have the instruments of propaganda and the means of dissemination of information. I remember reading when I first started awakening to all this back in, the mid to late 80s, going into the 90s, reading that the Jews had control of all publishing by the early 1900s. This is one of the things that Henry Ford wrote about in his book, published in 1922, called The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem. Think about that subtitle, as I mentioned many times, The World's Foremost Problem. Now, again, the claim was made in some of this literature that I looked at that the Jews controlled all publishing, including school textbooks, by the late 1900s. In other words, the late 19-teens. Okay, and again, Henry Ford wrote about their control of the media and publishing, as well as the movies in Hollywood, at that early date. So what is our situation like now? We have to remove them from power. We have to remove them from our society. There's no other issue that makes any sense to me in terms of importance. And so people, you know, some older white guy who doesn't want to pay some tax bill presented by the government goes into court and establishes some status in some jurisdiction and or, you know, makes some claim. So what? Okay, I'm in favor of it. Great. Good for you. Put up a fight. But the bottom line is it's not going to change the geopolitical reality that we face, which is an alien enemy has possession of the means of power in our country, and they have to be removed. And I am in favor of removing them with extreme prejudice, and that's what winning looks like. So that was a long answer. Thanks for posing the question, Daryl.
Well, the media is truly, and I've said it many times, I'm sure not the first one, truly the media is the enemy of the people, like nothing else. I mean, it's amazing that you read Henry Ford from the 1920s, there, those brochures, or listen to Rockwell from the 60s and stuff, or read, not that I have, but I've read excerpts, it's all over the internet about Mein Kampf and stuff, and everything back then it basically hasn't really changed. It's quite a phenomenon that, and it might even be more accentuated, if anything. It's quite the thing. Richard, you mentioned the gulag there and these January 6th. I think that, you know, once they get out eventually, I don't know, I think that there's going to be hell to pay for these D.C. gulag guards, I think, and the torture, assault, judicial system, I think is going to be, you know, holding these prisoners for 2-3 years without trial. I mean, who does that under these types of circumstances? You do that to, you don't do that to mass murderers type of thing. The lawsuit got the yin-yang coming.
I heard that the guards were from some third world, I don't know if it's like Haiti or somewhere like that, but, you know, guards that are from these third world little countries intentionally used to have a beef with whites beyond what American non-whites would have. So,
Right. I've heard those stories. Go ahead.
And to your point that was basically reinforcing my point, Daryl, yeah, William Pierce used to talk about this. None of these thoughts is original with me. However, it should be apparent to those who just think about it. But he used to articulate all the time that the number one problem was this brainwashing, this Jewish media propaganda campaign that has been relentless against us and against our interest and has been successful in, I'm going to use a word here, which I learned a long time ago, deracinating, okay? Basically removing racial cohesion and racial consciousness from the minds of white people. That's why so many white people are mentally ill. Okay, in other words, taking a knee for Black Lives Matter? Are you kidding me? Wearing a sign that says "I apologize" or "I'm sorry," right? The CEO of Chick-fil-A, you know, shine the shoes of a black man on a talk show. I mean, he would be first in front of the firing squad when I take over. And by the way, there'd be no free speech if we, quote, national socialists, okay, white national socialists take over. I think most of us people that I've talked to are in agreement. There would be propaganda and brainwashing for a couple of years. There would be no free speech, okay, because white people need to have their heads remade, in my opinion. Of course, that's just my opinion.
Right, in Chick-fil-A, that guy was pretty popular, and once he did that, his business apparently is going sideways at the very least. They take over the New York Times in 1895, and they boycott, and they do all these things, the nefarious things, to take over these businesses. And other businesses see that too, and they don't go through. They don't want to go through that, so that's why the media has been so, you know, so propagated by the group that you're talking about, Paul, because the other people see it and they say it's not worth it. It's not worth fighting these people. They're too powerful.
Well, listen, I appreciate it, Daryl. I want to get to Dan.
Thank you.
Where's that other additional promised cotton candy for Paul?
Oh, I was at the fair. I'm a bit of a health nut. I got some cotton candy. It's the size of an afro, and I just wanted to, if I could mail it down to San Jose with a rubber glove, or you want it bareback right off the stick. It's up to you.
Thank you, Daryl.
Okay, guys. Great show.
Dan in Washington. Dan.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I think you handled that guy pretty good. I just get tired of the it's an attitude of cowardice and treason. This kind of conservative, like you know, let's not take over the school system. Let's privatize it and give it to a Jewish corporation, or you know, let's just escape from all this and move out to the country and.
I'll take issue with the characterization of cowardice, but I don't disagree with the point that you are now making, and please continue to make it.
Yeah, I mean, why can't conservatives take over the school system and make a stand against these books? But, you know, it's all a big scam to basically help. It's a white genocide scam, the whole libertarian, be on your own, go move out. I mean, I get it, but you're not going to get Social Security either if you do that.
Right, so. I like the word takeover because that's all that has to be done. These people, they took over. I mean, they usurped power. It took them a while, but they were quite, you know, clever and devious, and they used their tremendous wealth that they already had brought from Europe, right, through their essential banking monopoly scam over there. See, they do the same thing over and over again. I said, I'm tired of it. Everybody's tired of reading about it and talking about it because it's been going on for centuries. Okay, we have to be physical. They have to be physically removed. In other words, you know, sew a yellow star on their clothing and put them in ghettos. Okay, nothing else is going to work because if you have a society and they exist in large numbers, they will network, they will cooperate, they will plan, they will scheme. Because they have an agenda, they have objectives and goals, and they work to accomplish them vigorously. We do not. We witness what they do, we experience it, and we talk about it. So we have to flip that. We have to be the ones that are aggressive. That's why I talk about white supremacy as opposed to white nationalism. I like white nationalism, but you can't get there without white supremacy. In other words, I'm taking over. I mean, similar to, you know, you read these things about jail, or you watch these videos online about what they call the shot caller. Well, guess what? In jail culture, and I know somebody who's been, I've never been myself, but I actually know somebody who's been to prison or jail. Essentially, you have to hold your position if somebody challenges you, okay? In other words, if you get your ass beat by somebody else, you're no longer the shot caller, okay, if you don't stand up to the challenge. Now, not all of them are the biggest and most physically strong or powerful. It does work on leadership. However, those principles apply. And guess what? In jail, by the way, especially in California, I've heard that, and this is true of other races as well, is if you don't stand up for yourself and fight back, okay, in general, you will get your ass handed to you by your own race because they don't want cowards and they don't want people that aren't willing to fight. So, you know, I speak in these metaphors, but it's reality. It's what we're facing. The bottom line is these people will never leave voluntarily. They're never going to give up power. We can't buy them out, okay? And even if we had the money, they wouldn't allow us to buy them out because they wouldn't sell to us if we wanted to buy these networks. It's all got to be a takeover. That's all it's ever been. I'm not articulating anything that shouldn't be obvious to those who think about it.
Yeah, Doc, what you were saying about the legal system, about how whites and other, it made me think of Don Advo with that show Stormfront, because he's, I forgot the name of the book, but he used to talk about, it was called The Jews in Poland or something.
Yeah, the, and his, it goes back the to, history of, yeah, I think it was the history of the Jews in Russia and Poland.
Yeah, he was, and that's what you described whites should do is exactly what Jews, that's Talmudic law, what they've been doing to us for a thousand years, where you can't go on trial against a Jew, right? Their word is, you have to have like another a Jew testify against another Jew.
While I'm in this mood to respond and to rant a little bit on a little, just a touch of coffee, you know, let me further ram home this notion of what I'm talking about. See, they, the Jews, our enemy, are not shy about implementing violence upon us, as we have all known from the Bolshevik Revolution and so forth, right? So they're not shy about killing us, poisoning us, right? Robbing us, you know, stealing from us, usurping government power from us, toppling monarchies, and so on and so on and so on. In other words, they are very open in what they do. They just don't want you to talk about it, and they don't want you to protest too much, because then you're an anti-Semite. So we just have to get real. In other words, just think of the fact that if the Jews are punching us in the face, what are we going to look at each other and go, what should I do? I mean, that's really, I feel, the position of so many white people nowadays, is we're getting kicked in the package, punched in the face, and we're looking at each other going, well, what's the best strategy here?
You know, well, we're up against the fade-out.
Sorry.
Well, we're up against the fade-out music already. Dan, any quick response, sir?
No, good points. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Dan. I didn't mean to monopolize your call. I appreciate you calling in.
Well, thank you as well, Paul.
Well, thank you again, Richard, for tolerating me. I appreciate it. And thank you to RBN.
And, folks, please support RBN to keep all this free speech alive at the canary in the coal mine that is RBN. Canary in the coal mine of our free speech. So please, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate page, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.